Yeah. Wednesday 12/17/25, How Faith Works, Part 22. I put here Full Persuasion as the title, but then I kind of think maybe the whole crux of it is the spin zone. Anyway, let's get into it. Hebrews 11:1. My faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as Christians, how we receive from God is by faith. We're born again by faith. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up by faith. God's way is the way of faith. And so that's the way He operates. Faith is not feelings, it is fact. To receive what we want from God, we must believe by faith, by God's facts, that it is so. I call this full persuasion. All right, let's go look at Abraham for a minute. This is Romans chapter 4. Verse 21. Now, Abraham was facing some seemingly impossible situations. Right here. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God does not break his promises. And I know a lot of people, you know, maybe not understanding about faith, have thought they've stood in faith and they've died or whatever the case may be. And they got upset at God over it, but God was not the problem. God keeps his promises. And that's a fact. He always has and he always will. Okay, let's keep going here. Persuaded to carry out fully in evidence. Completely assured to convince or entirely accomplish. It has nothing to do with feelings. Thus, we can see why maybe some people don't receive, because they're basing everything on feelings. If they don't see it on the outside or they don't feel it a certain way, they don't believe God has heard them. What does faith do? It acts like it's already done, even if you're still having all the symptoms. That's full persuasion, and that's what happened with Abraham. What you feel is not real, so you might... This is what the Lord said to me yesterday, and I wrote it down. What you feel is not real, so you might as well go ahead and enjoy your day. Don't spend another day letting the devil sidetrack you and think about yourself and think about your circumstances. Stop allowing your feelings to set your day. Faith is a fact from God's word. He never fails. Satan tries to use our feelings against us to convince us that we cannot trust God. Remember, he's a liar. Jesus said there is no truth in him. None. Nothing. You can't trust your feelings because he will manipulate your feelings. Okay. What do we do when this happens? When we see stuff we don't like or we feel stuff we don't like, what do? Right here. It stirs our emotions up. That's the thing. It gets your emotions all stirred up. And what started out to be a good day ends up being a bad day based on your emotions. Been there, done that. We do not back off our faith. We must know the Word of God says what it says to keep us steady. Peace. The Word of God brings peace. What does that do? It keeps you steady as a rock, even in the midst of contradictory circumstances. Jesus said to his disciples, well, wait a minute. I skipped something. Just a minute. Right here. I said, always hang with the truth. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You believe God over the circumstances, in other words. So what's going on here? I never looked at this, what I'm fixing to share. I'd never really kind of thought about it in this respect, but this is what the Holy Spirit started to bring. Jesus said to his disciples, an enemy has done this. Oh God, he's just doing this to teach me something. Oh God, I remember Brother Hagin telling somebody, you've been sick 25 years. Have you learned anything? No, only thing I've learned is I don't want to be sick. So Jesus said, an enemy has done this. This is Matthew chapter 13. Starting with 24 there. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. All the tares that have showed up in your life, an enemy hath done this. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What are tares? Think about it. In our culture, it's narratives that have been sown. Christian people that wouldn't even dream of such things have turned to homosexuality and transgenderism and or allowed their kids to do so, going totally against the doctrine of the faith and embracing these things. How did that happen? An enemy hath done this. He sowed tares among the wheat. What's wheat? It's the productive crop. But an enemy, through our minds, comes in to spin God's word. So I call it the spin zone. Enemy here means to hate, hateful, odious, act hostile, and adversary. He's the enemy against all of our souls, right? Okay. God's thoughts never change toward us. He is not wishy-washy or flighty. That is why he is mighty. The enemy, hateful and odious, using our flesh against us if we allow it to get us off our stand of faith. There's nothing wrong with the wheat. All is well. God is resting, and when we hang with him, so do we. The enemy sends in tares among the wheat to defeat the wheat. See, the tares are there to overtake the wheat. And ultimately win. Wheat is a grain or a crop that's real. Tares are darnel, false grain or fake. Let's look at James 5:11. So we don't need to let the devil come in and sow darnel into our field, the field of our minds, when we know what God's word says. And we know, we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about Job. The devil come to the Lord twice. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And it was always in a positive setting. God didn't do a thing to Job. The devil did what he did to Job. Okay, James. I went too far. Hold on. This is James chapter 5, verse 11 here. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. He was in the case of Job. The liar and thief seeks to spin God's truth. He, through your emotion, tries to drag you into his spin zone. It doesn't matter what kind of harvest it is, personal or the whole church. Satan uses the same tactics. Kind of like every wind of doctrine blowing through the church to get the church off. God's people listen to his word or the fake news. You know, the darnel looks like grain, but it isn't. It may sound good at first, but it isn't. Okay, God does not change. All the stuff Job went through did not move or change God. He still felt the same way about his servant Job. And he rewarded him at the end because he stood up against it. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. Starting with 6 there. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What is the first mistake we make whenever we're walking on our walk of faith is to start saying something. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we're complete in him. So what's the problem? The spin zone. The enemy, the adversary, the trickster. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In other words, everything that God has, that you see it in your life. Right here, complete means to make replete, to literally cram a net, level up a hollow or satisfy, execute an office, finish a task, verify or accomplish. That's success is what that is, accomplishing everything God has for us to accomplish. Let's keep going here. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It doesn't always happen on Saturday night. Sometimes it takes a little time, but if we'll stay with our proper mindset, stay in faith, no matter what, God will see it through. That's what his word says. John. This is John 4:4. I don't think that's it. Let's see. No, that's not it. John. Maybe it's James. Let me look at James. Because that's not it. It's James. Why I put John? I don't know. Let me write that down. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We can't rub shoulders, play tootsie with the world, and expect the things of God to come through in our life. We can't. Dabbling in our minds with things we shouldn't be dabbling with. What does it mean to you to take no thought? Think about that awesome statement. Take no thought for your life. No thought. Does there appear to be tares lurking among your wheat? Pause that a moment. I need to go get something. This is the book of Jasher. And I know you know what it says because I've read it before, but I'm going to read it again. I've been reading it quite often. God had spoken to Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. In verse 25 here, and whilst Abraham was proceeding with his son Isaac along the road, Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of contrite spirit. And he approached Abraham and said to him, art thou silly or brutish that thou goest to do this thing this day to thine only son? For God gave thee a son in thy latter days, in the old age, and wilt thou go and slaughter him this day because he committed no violence? And wilt thou cause the soul of thine only son to perish from the earth? Dost thou not know and understand that this thing cannot be from the Lord? For the Lord cannot do unto man such evil upon earth to say to him, go slaughter thy child. But see, he didn't know the end from the beginning. God never intended for him to slay his child. He just had wanted Abraham to obey him. Now, Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan, who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of the Lord. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan. And Abraham rebuked him so that he went away. And Satan returned and came to Isaac. He appeared unto Isaac in the figure of a young man, comely and well-favored. He approached Isaac and said unto him, dost thou not know and understand that that old silly father bringeth thee to the slaughter this day for naught? Now therefore, my son, do not listen or attend to him, for he's a silly old man. Let not thy precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth. And Isaac heard this and said unto Abraham, hast thou heard, my father, that which this man has spoken? Even thus has he spoken. And Abraham answered his son Isaac and said to him, take heed of him, and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him. For he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of God. And Abraham still rebuked Satan. Satan went from them, and seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them and went and passed before them in the road and transformed himself to a large brook of water in the road. And Abraham and Isaac and his two young men reached that place, and they saw a brook large and powerful as the mighty waters. And they entered the brook and passed through it, and the waters at first reached their legs, and they went deeper in the brook. And the waters reached up to their necks, and they were terrified on account of the water. Whilst they were going over the brook, Abraham recognized that place and knew there was no water there before. And Abraham said to his son, I know this place in which there was no brook nor water. Now therefore it is this Satan who does all this to us to draw us aside this day from the commands of God. And Abraham rebuked him and said unto him, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, be gone from us, for we go by the commands of God. And Satan was terrified at the voice of Abraham, and he went away from them. The place again became dry land as it was at first. See, the devil comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But says, resist him, be strong in faith. Just read that. That's 1 Peter. Let's see. Right? 1 Peter? Or is it six? Yeah, it is. Starting with verse, we'll start with six. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, God has said, I'll do it. The word says, I'll do it. Whatever you're needing. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There, see the care bear snare up here? The care bears? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's coming to spin it. What God has said in his favor. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he comes as a roaring lion or a roaring brook or whatever, however, whoever. Try to get you off your stand of faith, because he knows if he can't deter you, you'll get it. Okay. How do we let him in? Care, taking care for ourselves. The care bear snare. Care will take you out of that secure, safe, peaceful place, your rightful place, the place that you want to be. Little foxes that spoil the vine, little thoughts that steal our peace, little thoughts that cause us to doubt God. How do the tares overtake the wheat? It just keeps growing and growing and growing. We just feed it. Little thoughts that cause us to doubt God. Satan said to Eve in the beginning, hath God said? The spin zone. God has no losers, but only winners and overcomers. We're going to look at a few more scriptures and we'll be done. 1 John chapter 2. It's 13 and 14 here. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Like that. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? They that sow the tares. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What are you considering? The spin, the win zone or the spin zone? Win or spin? Consider the lilies, Jesus said. They neither toil nor spin. But your heavenly Father knoweth everything you need before you ask him. He already knows. James chapter 3. Starting at verse 1 there. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Just think about it. In our world today, supposedly we have the best medical technology there is, but people are sicker than ever. What's the problem? Their tongue. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, or therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water. You know what? When we keep our tongues and we believe God and we have our stand of faith, we cannot help produce what God has already put in us. We'll produce just like God. When we act like God, we'll produce like God. Okay, James 4, 6 through 8, and we'll be done. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.